रामाय राम भद्राय राम चंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः। आयुर्वेदिकांड चैप्टर नंबर 41 द सिटिजन्स लैमेंट्स। द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ। As Rama, the lord of the universe, took respectful leave of his parents and left fair Ayodhya behind him, the women folk lifted their voices in a pitiable wail and lament. Alas, Raghunatha abandons us, he who watched over us and ministers to our slightest wish till now, to us the forlorn and the friendless. What shall we do? Whom shall we take refuge in? Who shall extend the shadow of his protection over us? His heart knows not anger even when others cursed him all unjustly. He puts away from him everything that could provoke anger. May he calm the most infuriate by his gentle smile and gentler words. Where does he, the great one whose heart knows no change in joy or sorrow? Where does he, O great one who makes no difference between us and Kaushalya, the mother that bore him? Where goes he, the protector of the worlds, Rama, whom the king drives to the forests, unable to resist the pressure of Kaikeyi? How foolish and senseless is our king, who exiles to the woods Rama, the beloved darling of all creatures, the one true and the righteous. Thus did they lament, unable to contain their grief, like a cow torn from the side of its only calf. The sounds of woe fell on the ears of Dasharatha, already staggering under the cruel blows of separation from his darling boy, and prostrated him quiet. That day the holy fires in Ayodhya were tended not. Rama was the soul of all beings, and all beings, animate and inanimate, suffered exquisite agony to see him in the grief of misfortune. The god of fire withdrew his bright presence from his worshippers, who lay bereft of their senses. The householders cared not to go through the daily round of duties, the Upasana and the Panchayagna. The citizens cared not to turn their hands and hearts to their daily avocations and wandered about as if possessed. The sun hid himself from sight, shorn of his glory. The elephants refused food. Cows would yield no milk to their calves. The fond mother, barren through long years, felt not the slightest joy at being blessed with a son on that woeful day. The moon trembled under the maleficent aspects of Mars, Jupiter, Mercury and Trishanku, the ancestor of the Raghus. The stars moved rayless, the planets glowed with a dull light. Vishakha, the ruling star of the Ikshvaku line, was faintly visible in the sky as if through dense smoke. Huge clouds spread through the sky, driven on by fierce gales like a storm-tossed sea. The city quaked and trembled when Rama strode away from it, as if the shock was too much to bear. The quarters were hung with a pall of darkness, as if they hid their faces and sobbed in the abandonment of their grief. The sacred planets Ashwini and the other asterisms, the great constellation of the Saptarishis and the pole star Dhruva vanished from view. The citizens of Ayodhya, every single one of them, were suddenly caught in the grip of an indescribable grief and despair. Not a soul, man or beast, had the thought of food or other concerns of life. Man and woman, young and old, were tossed on the roaring billows of endless woe, and ever sighed hot and deep at being parted from Rama. The crowds that thronged the roads watered them with their tears. Each face was sick and sad and was an utter stranger to peace or joy. A huge cloud of hopeless grief, dark and heavy, enwrapped the town in its deadly folds. The gentle breeze no more blew cool. The moon failed to bring joy to the hearts of the beholders. The resplendent sun gave forth no light. The whole world, animate and inanimate, was plunged in woe. Every son in Ayodhya avoided the sight of his mother, for, said he, Kaushalya was bound to prevent Rama at any cost from proceeding to the forest. She failed to do so. It is a sure lesson to us that we should put no faith even in the mother that bore us. Every mother in Ayodhya steeled her heart against her son, For, said she, Rama heeded not the tears and prayers of his mother Kausalya, but obstinately carried out his purpose of betaking himself to the forest. What son would lend an ear to the words of his mother hereafter when Rama, the ideal son, has chosen to set this rule? The husband no longer turned towards his fond wife. For, said he, we do well to place not any faith in woman, we simply invite our faith thereby. Dashratha, our king, centered all his thoughts, hopes, and affections on Kaikeyi. Her lightest word was a law unto him, yet she tortured him like a fiend and brought him to his death. The faithful wife plucked out from her heart her love and reverence for her lord and husband, for, said she, it is only sorry treatment we will get at the hands of those who swore before the sacred fire to love and cherish us. Nothing restrains them, sin or virtue, heaven or hell. Who could sound the depths of Dasharatha's cruel and malignant heart? Who dared to humble himself before the imperious and wicked Kaikeyi's will and spurned aside Kausalya, his first love, his queen consort, and the mother that bore in her womb Rama, the lord of the universe, whom he condemned to dreary exile in the forests? Brothers kept apart from one another, and their hearts grew black with hate at the thought of Bharata, whose hand snatched all rudely the crown from the brows of his elder brother Rama and immured him in the dark depths of the wild forests. No one had any faith or trust in kith or kin and said to themselves, our friends, our kin, our home are all centered in Rama. What have we to do with anyone else in the world? Rama requested permission to depart to the woods, and the emperor gave it. Kausalya gave her reluctant consent after all and sent her blessings along with her son. But his friends were of a different stamp. He had no secrets from them. They had his confidence more than the parents that bore him. His friends would not allow the winds of heaven to visit Rama's face too roughly and considered them so supremely honored if they could lay down their lives in his cause. There was none who fainted away when the fatal words, Rama is exiled to the woods, fell on his ears and came back to life and its sorrow-laden joys. Grief crushed down every single one of them, even as a large mountain. And how could they throw it off? So they lay there in utter torpor. Else, would they not have prevented Rama perforce if other means fails from quitting this fair city of Ayodhya? As the earth quivers in affright when Indra, the lord of the three worlds, extends over her his watchful care no more, so did Ayodhya tremble all over out of grief and fear when her lord and protector Rama turned his back upon her and through the mouths of her elephants, horses and troops cried aloud in the bitterness of her heart. Mangalam Kausalendraya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.